As promised, we're going to transition to the prophecy that depicts America. As you know, if you have listened to yesterday's program, we shared the specific indictment that Yahweh laid against America. It was compelling. It was irrefutable. It depicted America exactly as we're seeing the nation today. It is like God telling us that John Kerry would make the stupid statement that he made. It's like us having God tell us in advance that Obama would bait the Russians into war. It is, his commentary in America is accurate, and it is especially condemning. Now, we have devoted programs to that. We're going to move on to what God says that he is offering. He says those who inhabit the earth, and also those who dwell in the land, when the sign on the upright pole is lifted up to demonstrate my purpose on my mountain, you will all see, gaining a perspective to genuinely understand. And also, when the shofar's horn trumpet sounds at this specific time, it will convey this plan, and you will all listen, paying attention. As I shared in yesterday's program, God is making it absolutely clear that there's going to be a referendum at this time. America and what it represents is going to be one option. That would be the political, military option, the economic option, the human institution option, the human promises option. That'll be option A. You can choose that. That's the American option. There's going to be an option Y. That's the Yahweh's plan, his covenant, as it's revealed in his Torah. You're going to have a chance to decide which one of them you wish to be allied. You get to vote. It's the ultimate referendum. And I'm here to tell you that you better choose wisely. Because there will be no one allowed into heaven. There will be no one saved. There will be no one who will be able to engage in a relationship with God who chooses option A. If you are still political, if you are still religious, if you are still patriotic at this time, it's over for you. Now, it behooves us to consider why Yahweh would juxtapose this critical review of American behavior between his personal involvement in the demise of Islam and the raising of his banner while sounding his shofar in Jerusalem on his mountain, which will be Mount Moriah, for all the world to see and hear. If America played no role in the former and wasn't the cause of the latter, then there would be no reason to include this depiction in this flow of prophetic events. But we're guilty. The fact is, America inspired and fueled the Islamic Reformation that led to the Arab sunset, to use Yahweh's term. The fuse was lit by Barack Hussein Obama on June 4th, 2009, when he highlighted and aligned the United States with Islamic ambitions and encouraged Muslims to seize the opportunity. Doing so in the birthplace of the Muslim Brotherhood. Invading Iraq was, of course, a horrific blunder, which empowered Iran and led to the Syrian war. But equally absurd was partnering with Pakistan to fight their Taliban in Afghanistan, bombing Libya to replace a secular government with a collection of terrorists served only to create a marketplace for military hardware, much of it being used by the Islamic jihadists under civilians, to murder civilians, I should say, throughout northern and central Africa today. Funding the Egyptian military so that they could murder all of the leaders of the popularly elected government wasn't the Americans' brightest hour either. And speaking of murder, the annihilation of 4,000 Muslim civilians with American drones has only served to manufacture 100 jihadists for everyone America has killed. Siding with the Sunni Mujahideen in Syria was similarly counterproductive because they are far more religious and thus ruthless than the Assad regime. America referred to the rebels, Yahweh, I should say, referred to the rebels that America has armed as animals. He called the rebels terrorists. He said they were acting like roaming bands of animals. and yet these are the very terrorists that America has armed. As we move forward to the next conflict delineated in this prophecy, the Islamic assault against Israel, the vast preponderance of the weapons that will be wielded by Allah's marauding murderers, this is from the term Ba'Allah. Ba'Allah is in the name of Allah. It's the Hebrew word for terrorist, for those who kill civilians to achieve a religious result. Ba'Allah, in the name of Allah, those who flood into the land will be supplied by the United States. That's where their weapons are going to be come from. It is not going to please God. In effect, the conclusion of this war will become a confrontation between Yahweh's spirit and the destructive capabilities of hundreds of billions of dollars of American firepower. I suspect God, who has seen our futures, and noticed who we have given these deadly machines to, is going to be rather miffed at the nation that supplied the weapons that have been deployed to destroy his land and murder his people. And he wants us to know that he knows that the suppliers of the bullets and bombs and the missiles that will be brought to bear against his people came from the United States of America. Furthermore, Yahweh has just expressed his condemning evaluation of the very militants America has armed. But then these things, while egregious, are of less concern to God than looting the promised land to garner favor with Israel's avowed enemies, the OPEC Islamic fiefdoms. This realization is underscored by Yahweh, whose parting comment prior to condemning America was to say, "This is the fate of those deceived regarding their merits. This is the result of flattering propaganda, the result of those coveting what belongs to others, who engage in a military conquest to plunder and to pillage us, and the recompense coming to those who seek to carry off the spoils of war. Since there are no chapter or verse designations in this revealed text, one statement flows one to the next. The condemnation explains and necessitates the warning being directed at the United States of America by God." Yes, it is undoubtedly true that Yahweh was summarizing Islam's failures in the wake of the religion's demise. But since America's footprints will be all over this war, and since this assessment of liability directly precedes the warning directed at the United States, God wants the world to know that he thwarted American ambitions, and that he had to do so to save his people. The nation that believed it was blessed by God became an adversary to be reckoned with. When this prophecy is properly considered as Yahweh's commentary on a related chronological event, and as cause and effect, as well as consequence, then it becomes apparent that God is holding the United States of America accountable for the things that will transpire as a result of the Syrian war, the event which serves as the catalyst for the tribulation. And that while that explains why Yah is opposed to America, it does not explain what is going to happen to the wayward and annoying nation. But this we know for sure. The most pontificating, the most condescending, the most manipulative, the most aggressive, the most militaristic, and the most powerful nation on earth will suffer to a degree that is so far beyond the rest of the world that America has been called out by name at this time to receive a warning from God. immediately after blowing Islam away, and literally and linguistically in spirit and word, doing so, Yahweh reveals to everyone on earth, this is Tabel, this isn't the land, the land is Yisrael, Tabel is the earth, that he has engaged to honor the promises he made to Abraham and to the children of the covenant. Even those opposed to him will know that he has taken a stand on behalf of his people, that he stood up for them, thereby Nasa, lifting them up while demonstrating his purpose. His neck, his insignia will be unmistakable, a ra'ah, a sign for all the world to see. Mankind will at this moment be without excuse. You're without excuse now. The Torah is available to anyone who wishes to read it. Each and every remaining individual will have one last opportunity to decide whose side they want to be on, mankind's or God's. It's going to be a referendum between religion, relationship, conspiracy, and the covenant, weapons of war, and the word. You will not at this time be able to opt out. Now, the vast majority of people opt out. They just don't want to have to deal with taking the time to get to know God. They don't want to invest the energy in coming to understand what he's offering. And therefore, they are not responsive. Many of those who have just been duped by religion and they don't care. They're just, people go say one thing and I'm just going to go along with the flow. They just don't care enough to shed their religion, or their religion has blinded them to the point they can no longer process information rationally. Whatever the case may be, the majority of people fall into the opting out for one way or another category. At this time, that will no longer be possible. Everyone is going to, that survives the first 3.5 years of the tribulation is now given this referendum and everyone votes. There will be no absentee ballots in this particular case. You are going to vote. And you either vote for Yahweh or you vote for humankind. Nations or relationship. The Torah of Yahweh are the promises of humankind. Choose wisely, my friends. For those willing to consider what God did for us as the neck, the upright one, on the upright pillar, on his Har Mount. For those willing to Shama, listen to and consider the call of to action of the shofar. It sounded by the ram's horned trumpet. This will be a time of reflection, leading to reconciliation. If you witness these things, stop whatever you are doing and pay attention. This will be the last invitation Yahweh will provide for you to participate in the covenant. Find a copy of the Torah, read it, and act upon it. The decision you make on this day will determine the eternal fate of your soul. This prophecy suggests, as do others, that from this point on in the tribulation until its conclusion, there will be no neutral parties. Every soul will be seen as either with God or against him. And that means that death leading to the dissipation of one's soul will no longer be an option. From this point forward, it's either heaven or hell. While it is hearsay testimony, the widow of Ron Wyatt, the man who actually found the Ark of the Covenant, she said something intriguing about this moment in time, especially the nature of the sign that would be lifted up on the mount. According to her husband, the Malach spiritual messenger protecting the Ark of the Covenant and its contents beneath Mount Moriah said that his next call to duty would be to hold up the two tablets containing the 10 statements Yahweh had etched in stone, so that the whole world would be able to read and consider them. They contain and explain the covenant, and point readers to the Torah and to its author. Now, having saved Israel, having blown Islam away, having explained the reasons for doing so, having clearly identified himself, Yahweh retreats to heaven to attend to the recent arrival of 7,000 sons and daughters. Consider it the manifestation of the story of the prodigal son. A great party is being celebrated in honor of the new arrivals. Indeed, because here and now, at this point in time, says Yahweh, as for me, I will be silent and at peace, removed from the tribulation in a far better place. Then I will look down and, choosing always to be observant, anticipating my desired unending and caring response, while I am in heaven and where heaven will ultimately benefit, in my dwelling place, from the well-known location in space and time where the universe was established, which is the basis for and the foundation of life, in the manner of radiant and glowing, warm and passionate light, akin to an enveloping cloud of encompassing dew and the warmth and enthusiasm of the harvest. This not only presents Yahweh as a loving and attentive father, it reveals that the horrors the world will endure during the midst of the tribulation are of man's making, not God. It isn't God judging the world, as Christians and Muslims will say. The Christian and Islamic notion that their religious God is actively engaged in world affairs and in their lives, micromanaging and judging everything and everyone, is torn asunder by this statement. There'll be more calamity at this time than any time in human history, and God will have nothing to do with it. Won't even be here. While the religious perception is illogical, indeed impossible and irrational, this statement doesn't suggest that Yahweh is disengaged or uncaring, even aloof. He will act when the fate of Israel is at stake. He will explain why he will do so. He will make himself known. He will see to it that his instructions are raised so that everyone will be able to see them. But then he will do what all loving fathers do. He's going to focus on his children. Here on earth, if you want to experience Yahweh's love, if you want to feel his presence, if you want to know his will for your life, if you want to understand what he's offering, if you want to engage in a relationship with him, if you want to be saved by him and lead others to him, Shamar Torah. Closely examine his guidance. Carefully consider his teaching. And thoroughly observe his instructions. Act on the covenant. And accept his invitations to meet with him on his schedule. I'm going to take a break from where we are in this statement. And going to share with you a passage that I had the great pleasure of translating yesterday. And again this morning. That tells us what we ought to do if we want to capitalize on the opportunity to engage in a relationship with Yah. As promised, here's a statement. It's a paragraph, one unified thought from Dabarim words, Deuteronomy 4:1 through 4:8. This is Moshe, inspired words to the children of Israel, to those individuals who engage and endure with God. I had cause to translate this because one of the callers to this program, I believe his name is Anthony, has a group in New York that thought that what I had said relative to the Torah, that the Torah is teaching, and that the most important thing that God wants us to do relative to his teaching is to observe what he has to say, which is to carefully consider and closely examine his teaching and to listen to his guidance, to Shamar and to Shema. And that they said, well, because this also has Asha, the Hebrew word for doing, acting upon and engaging in this testimony, in addition to Shamar, then it's more than just observing. But, of course, my friends, to observe, to closely examine, carefully consider is doing something. Listening is doing something. In fact, it's doing the single most important thing we can do. So I want to share this with you. It's one of the my favorite passages. So then, Yisrael, individuals who engage and endure with God, choose to actually listen, Shema, to the engraved prescriptions for thoughtful living, Hachok, to the clearly inscribed communications regarding what you should do to be a shareholder, to receive an allotment, and to be cut into becoming part of the relationship. And also listen to the just means to resolve disputes, the ha-mishpat, the means to exercise good judgment and to decide who has a share according to the plan and its prescriptions, which beneficially, ashar, happily, and to bless the relationship, I learned, this is Moshe speaking, I learned and accepted along with you, Lamad F. I welcomed and responded properly to, along with you, teaching and instructing among you. To approach by engaging, responding for the purpose of you actually and continuously living, and you arriving and being included, and also you genuinely becoming an heir, choosing to totally inherit accordingly the realm which relationally Yahweh, the God of your fathers, is providing for you to approach. So I'll read this once again, and then we'll go through the next statement. God has said, so, and I'm going to be a little quicker this time. So then, Yisrael, choose to actually listen to the engraved prescriptions for thoughtful living that cut you into this relationship, and to the just means to resolve disputes, to exercise good judgment, which beneficially I learned and accepted along with you, all to approach by engaging, responding for the purpose of you actually and continually living, and you arriving and being included, and also you genuinely becoming an heir, choosing to totally inherit, accordingly, the realm, which relationally and happily, mercifully, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, is providing for you to approach. You should not add to the word, which as a result of the relationship I'm instructing you with. And also, you should not subtract from it in order to approach by being observant, by observing, to progress towards the goal by closely examining and carefully considering the word of Yahweh, your God, especially the conditions and instructions, the mitzvah, the authoritative directions regarding the prescribed terms of the binding covenant contract, which beneficially I instructed you with. Your eyes, they saw that which is beneficial, that Yahweh engaged in on your behalf with regard to Baal Peor. Baal Peor in Hebrew is, Baal is Lord, the owner, the one who controls, and Peor means the broad way that is illuminated. You could, and if you're a conspiracy theorist, you would call it the Lord of the Illuminous. If you're not, recognize that Hasatan, the Lord, is light, and he guides people to a religious, broad, popular path to his light. Baal Peor is bad, folks. The Lord of the Gaping Light. So, your eyes, they saw that which beneficially Yahweh engaged him. This is from Ashah. What he acted upon with regard to Baal Peor. Indeed, all of the individuals who relationally followed after the Lord of the broad way of enlightenment, after Baal Peor, Yahweh, your God, caused them to perish, completely annihilating them from your presence. All of you, the ones who in touch with and holding on to Yahweh, your God, you're still here. You're alive on this day. Think about that. Choose to actually look and see, being genuinely perceptive. I have learned this way, and I'm teaching you accordingly. that clearly inscribe communications regarding what you should do to become a shareholder, to receive an allotment, to be cut into the relationship, as well as the just means to resolve disputes. In the same manner, and in the same way which advantageously they were taught to me by Yahweh, my God, to approach by acting in like manner, honestly and accordingly in the midst of the land you are going to enter and as an inheritance to possess. So, you should actually choose to be observant, and you should choose of your own volition to engage. Indeed, because that makes you all prudent and wise and helps you understand. By being observant, the family approaches relationally and beneficially. Continually, they then want to listen regarding all of these godly engraved prescriptions for thoughtful living. Then they will say, surely and uniquely, the family is wise and perceptive, having come to understand by making these connections. The family becomes great and is magnified in this way. Indeed, by contrast, what Gentile nation is distinguished or great, which approaches a God in a close, personal relationship, being brought near to him, as is the case with Yahweh, our God, and with all of us who have been invited to him and called by him. Wow, that's a powerful statement. He's saying, in contrast, what other Gentile, name a Gentile nation that is distinguished or great in ways that matter. He says, which approaches a God in a close personal relationship, being brought near to him, as is the case with Yahweh, our God, with all of us invited to him, called by him. And what Gentile nation is distinguished or great as a result of it being able to approach with clearly inscribed communications regarding what should be done in life to become a shareholder, to receive an allotment, to be cut into the relationship, and a just means to resolve disputes through righteous vindication, as is clearly the case with the entirety of this Torah, which beneficially I am actually placing before your presence on this day. That was Devarim 4, 1 through 8. God is saying, you want to look at the Torah? There's three things you ought to focus on. You ought to closely examine it. You ought to carefully consider it. You ought to listen to what I have to say in it. And the three things you ought to pay especially close attention to. This is reinforced time and time again through the 119th Psalm, the most important ode to the Torah. He says, I want you to look at the mitzvot, the terms and conditions of the covenant. Pay attention to them. I want you to be especially aware of the means, the mitzvot, the means that I have conceived to justly resolve disputes so that you can be vindicated. I have a process in the Torah through these invitations to meet seven times a year that enable you to be vindicated, to become righteous, to become upright in my presence. And he says, I also want you to look at the choke. These engraved inscriptions that cut us into this relationship. Focus on that part of the Torah. And he doesn't say, you know, and obey anything. No, there's nothing to obey. He constantly emphasizes how much there is to learn. These things teach us who God is and what he's offering so that we can understand by making the connections and then respond to him appropriately so that we receive all of the benefits as they are articulated in the Torah. And when we do this, we draw close to God. We are able to enjoy a close personal relationship with him. This is all possible because of the instructions and guidance that are found in the Torah. This is Yahweh's position on his Torah. This is how you have the opportunity, have been given the opportunity to meet with him. And the contrast is there's not a single Gentile nation that recognizes this, that acts upon this, that is guided in this way. Not one. Again, it's a referendum. Are you going to side with the Gentile nations, the Americas of the world, the Russias of the world, the Chinas of the world, the Syrias of this world, the Egypts of this world, the Iraqs of this world? For our listeners of this program, the Australians and the New Zealands, the Republic of South Africans, the Colombians, the Canadians, the British, are you going to side with your government? Are you going to capitalize on the relationship to draw close to Yahweh, to be engaged in an intimate personal relationship with him that is facilitated through his Torah? That is your choice. God is inviting you. A powerful insight, that wonderful invitation, that stellar guidance that has been provided to us relative to carefully considering and thoroughly listening to everything God has to say in his Torah, especially focusing on the key aspects of the Torah, its prescriptions for living, its terms and conditions of the covenant, and its means to resolve disputes. God has invited you to engage in a close personal relationship with him, but that close relationship will take you away from nations. That's why he said that, you know, why don't you name a nation that's offering the same thing? Because there aren't any. Now, with that in mind, let's reconsider what I said before we consider that particular statement from the Torah. If you're here on earth at this time, at the time that he is also speaking of in our future, and you want to experience Yahweh's love, if you want to feel his presence, if you want to know his will for your life, if you want to understand what God is offering, if you want to engage in a relationship with him, if you want to be saved by him and lead others to him, Shama and Shamar Torah. Listen to his guidance. Closely examine, carefully consider his directions. That's the answer. And once you have, act upon the terms and conditions of the covenant. Answer the invitations that he has made to meet with him 7 times a year. That's all there is to this. Become his child. Enjoy the warm embrace. See for yourself the radiant nature of our Heavenly Father. But if you pray to him and you ask for any of these things without first becoming Torah observant, know that he's going to ignore you. God isn't interested in the lives of those who disregard what he has said and what he has done. He has no interest in the religious or in minutia. As for Yahweh, he will be silent and at peace, removed from the tribulation in a better place. God constantly does what he asks of us. And he always says of himself, does what he says he's going to do. He wants us to be observant. And so he is observant. He wants us to view him as a loving father who cares for his children, building a beneficial home for them. So he is actively engaged doing these very things. He wants us to live with him. So he has established the foundation for life. He is light and love, radiant and glowing, warm and passionate. And he is close to his children, enthusiastically enveloping and encompassing their souls. His nurturing nature is near as the dew is to the harvest. But this leaning isn't for all. most will be left behind. Some will blossom and become perfect in Yahweh's eyes, while others are able to, these individuals will be able to approach his presence. However, there will be those who remain. Those who remain unreceptive, and they're going to endure a different fate. God says, indeed, before the approaching presence of the harvest, as the budding blossoms form and become completely perfect, speaking of those who are open and receptive to him, then there will be others who are hardened and unfit, and they're going to be dealt with for becoming clusters of wild birds of prey, glistening eagles and falcons and hawks, and the insignificant and the worthless who squander and trivialize, they're going to be stopped. They're going to be taken down and vanished. They're going to be snuffed out with a sharp implement. So then, with regard to the forsaken castaways, they will be rejected and removed, cut off and separated. It has to be this way. God's not being mean here. He's just doing what has to be done. The reality is that when he returns, he's going to return the entire earth to the conditions experienced in the Garden of Eden, a protective enclosure of pure joy, complete happiness, which means there can be no religion and politics, no militarism or economic schemes therein. There'll be no worship of false gods or false hope. No lies. All of these things must be banished, snuffed out, and they will be. All of these things will be cast away so that we can enjoy an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. He is inviting you. He is calling you by name. Respond to his invitations, and we will spend eternity together. May God bless you all and be with you at this time tomorrow.